Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. I have to make a confession today, actually. I'm not in Bellevue or Seattle. I'm actually near Olympia, Washington, because my car broke down. And so I'm doing it the show today by Skype. But if anyone there has a good economical car, please let me know. I'm interested in getting another car. My car is currently in the shop. But anyway, during the first hour, I interviewed Tigrilla Gardenia, a wonderful lady who's the communications director of the Music of the Plants project in Domenher in northern Italy. And during this second hour, I had scheduled to interview William Tompkins. Now, Bill Tompkins is a great man. He's a author of the best-selling book Selected by Extraterrestrials. And I just spoke to him yesterday, and he said he was looking forward to coming on today. But something's come up. He just let my producer know about 5 or 6 minutes ago that he couldn't come on today. So that's okay. Things happen. I know people get busy and things come up in life. So, but as a backup, I have my good friend Scott Lemriel coming to us from the Los Angeles area, who will talk about the Galactic Alliance. And Mr. Tompkins was an engineer with the Secret Space Program, and he had contact with extraterrestrials as well. And I think that Scott, I'm sure, will be able to tell us lots of things about extraterrestrials. And he's also written a book, too, called The Sabres Agenda. Scott will also be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 10, 11, and 12. And the last time Scott was here, he brought his friends with him from the Galactic Alliance, and everybody at the conference, we saw spacecrafts not only at night from the Galactic Alliance, but also during the day as well. The ones that I saw were in a five-star pattern with a smaller stars around a central light in the middle and a kind of a blue hint, a blue hue to the colors, and they were there protecting us. And I've been told that they'll be coming back again this coming conference. So though for those of you interested in seeing actual UFOs during the day and also at night, please come to the conference, and I'm sure you'll be able to see them. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend Scott on. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ted. I understand you just got back from Italy. I hope you had a great trip.
Oh, thank you, Scott. I went to Domenher. And I already missed the cappuccinos. They were only a dollar a piece, and they were everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we have good coffee here too, of course. But the Italian people were so beautiful and so nice. And one of the things that I really liked about Domenher is that the vibrations there are very high. Mm. As soon as I got there, I could feel my vibrations go way up.
Mm,
and
interesting.
I was there for, I don't know, less than a week, but it got to the point where I didn't really want to leave.
That's a good sign.
But I had to get back on my flight and come back. And Paris was a mess to fly through, but I think Paris is always a mess to fly through, long lines. But I was glad to get back to the States, and I'm very happy to have you on today. And it was funny. When I called you this morning, something told me, one of my guides told me to have you as a backup today, just in case Mr. Tompkins couldn't come on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm glad.
The call, yep.
Yeah. So I acted on that message, and I called you. And one of the things, well, I want to run a Bill Tompkins had me read his book, Selected by Extraterrestrials. And if I may, what I'd like to do, since I marketed the program as being with Mr. Tompkins, I'd like to go over a couple things in his book, and then I'd love to go on to you, Scott, if that's okay.
Oh, sure, I'd love to, because I don't know anything about him. I'd love to hear that too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, his book said that. He said that John F. Kennedy was given permission to leave our planet with the space program in the 60s. And but then after we got there, we were ordered off the moon because it was already inhabited. In other words, when the astronauts got out of their Apollo mission, stepping on the surface of the moon, Scott, Bill Tompkins writes that they saw all kinds of UFOs surrounding them during the Apollo missions. Of course, this was all kept from the American public and the world. But what I'd love your comments on that from the Galactic Alliance perspective.
Yeah, that seems pretty accurate to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Only because at the time, our governments had made an alliance with the totalitarian extraterrestrial race to get their more antiquated technology. It wasn't a good thing, but Eisenhower was coerced into it. It was against his better judgment. And so you can see the series of events as they unfolded from there.
Right, exactly. I'd like to The other thing too that I'd like to do now is to I know you'll be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference, and before we go further, I'd like to just to bring on Carolyn White, if we could call her back, Eric, just for a few minutes, because I want to bring her on and also talk about your presentation at the Galactic Wisdom Conference as well.
Sure.
So we'll try to get. Sorry for not giving you much notice, Eric, but if we could call her now. That would be great. I'll just I'll wait to get her on. But Scott, I want to thank you so much for coming up to the conference.
Your third conference. I was at your first one, your second one. I'll be at your third one.
Right. I enjoy your company so much that, and you have
likewise,
so much.
Likewise.
You have so much to say that I wanted to bring you on. So Eric, just let me know when Carolyn's back on the line, and then Scott and I will keep talking until you can get her back. So now, one of the things that Bill Tompkins wrote in his book is that President Truman made a deal with the reptilians,
right,
after the 47 Roswell crash.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Bill Tompkins, Truman's deal allowed U.S. citizens to be kidnapped every week in exchange for advanced technology, laser weapons, and extended life. And I know you talk about that in your own book too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but with that, I'd like to bring on Carolyn just for about 5 minutes or so to talk about the conference. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, Ted, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Oh, thanks. Carolyn, you know Scott, and Scott, you know Carolyn?
Yeah.
Of course, yes.
Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
We'll see you soon, too.
Great. Great. Well, Carolyn, if you could talk a little bit about the fair tomorrow and also the Galactic Wisdom Conference for a few minutes, and then we'll go back to the interview with Scott here, because Scott's going to be part of that conference in March as well.
Oh, wonderful. Looking forward to it. Well, tomorrow we're going to be our Cosmic Awareness, Wellness, and Intuitive Fair is going to be in Olympia, Washington,
mm-hmm,
at 9101 Steelecom Road Southeast. It's
mm-hmm
in the main hall, the Harmony Hall, where you had the Galactic Wisdom Conference last year and where it will be this year, March 10th to the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions or want any information, we have on our website, which is chakracoach.me, that's C-H-A-K-R-A. coach.me. We have information on all 30 of our vendors that are there. We have some wonderful, awesome people that have things for your body, mind, and spirit. We're having 5 different speakers for the day. All of this is free. We're having door prizes. We have our speakers starting at 10 o'clock. Angel or aromatherapy. I have a lady talking about massage therapists, about the healing codes. A lady doing EFT, showing you how to relieve stress in only a few minutes. We have Ted Marr talking about the message from water, the Immortal Peace Project, also the wonderful work of the Immortal Peace Project. And then at 2:15, we have a lady talking about Atlantean symbols. And I think, Ted, you have a special offer that you're giving to participants that come to the conference tomorrow, our Cosmic Awareness Fair for the Galactic Wisdom Conference in March.
That's right. For those who come to our Cosmic Awareness Fair tomorrow in Olympia and you register for the Galactic Wisdom Conference in March, I'll give you a good discount. And so come on down. The admission's free. You'll be able to hear a series of 5 or 6 different presentations given by myself and some other psychics as well. And you'll be able to see over, I think it's 31 vendors now, 31.
We have 30 different tables, so 31 vendors. And there's Jerry and I are going to be there with our aura and chakra. Photos, and we have books there. We have several local authors that are talking about spiritual ascension, very much a lot of wisdom, Teresa Carroll, who's also going to be at the Galactic Wisdom Conference.
Oh, Teresa's a nice lady, really nice lady.
Beautiful, beautiful, and she has a wonderful book about her ghost busting over her 30 years as a professional psychic and intuitive. So just a lot of wonderful things. I mean, awesome selection of crystals. We have a lady that does hand weaving magic. There's another woman there that does beautiful artwork. So we have a little bit of everything for everybody. So come down to Olympia. Yes.
Wonderful. Will Grace Starr be there? Or I know she's coming. I think she's coming to the Galactic Conference in March. But will she be there tomorrow? Do you know?
She had another commitment.
Okay.
We have several other ladies that have the that do readings and work with stones, healing with stones, balancing, Reiki.
Right.
So it's just, and of course we do have Ted there too, and Ted will answer all of your questions. I want to talk to Ted in person. He will be there, and again, he's having that wonderful presentation at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on the message from water, and we'll give you more information about the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference coming up March 10th through 12th here in Olympia, Washington.
Wonderful, and I'll be giving readings all day tomorrow, too, so please come on down. I'd love to meet you, and with that, Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate
it. Well, thank you, and remember, everybody, keep smiling.
Thank you, Carolyn. Have a wonderful day,
okay,
Carolyn.
Bye.
I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, bye, Scott.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Scott, it's good. So good to have you on.
Pleasure.
Now, the difference, I like Bill, but the difference between you and Bill Tompkins is that if you work in the secret space program, most people become classified, don't they? So they're not able to talk about their experiences.
They swear not to divulge the secrets that are classified in the United States, whether they're justifiable secrets or serving an elitist or powerful group. They still vow their allegiance to that.
Right.
And so all the whistleblowers in the secret space program are telling the truth from the experiences they know.
Right.
But they were only classified to a certain level, and they all know that was a lot more going on than they were privileged to know about.
Right.
But, you know, they're still classified, really.
Right, right.
They're
given
orders
I've had
to disclose and begin that process, which is good.
Sure. I had Corey Good on my show the year before last, Randy Kramer on a couple times last year, and then another wonderful gentleman named Tony Rodriguez on my show from the Secret Space Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad Bill Tompkins can't come on today because he wrote a fascinating book, and I urge everyone to get a copy of it. It's called Selected by Extraterrestrials, and it talks about his involvement in designing this the spacecraft for the U.S. Navy and the U.S. military. He's a brilliant man. One of the things he talked about was that throughout his book, he talks about the Nordics and how they had given him telepathic information in a good way to advance our technology so we could create weapons and also spacecraft to fight the negative entities here on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I want to go back to you now, Scott, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I guess there's so many ways we could go with this. Today's the inauguration, of course, of Donald Trump as president.
I watched it.
And I try to stay away from politics on this program because it sometimes gets very nasty and negative, and it serves no purpose. But from your perspective, from the Galactic Alliance, what's your perspective on today's inauguration?
Oh, good. I'm glad you asked because, as you know, I do not get into politics normally in my work.
Right.
Not because I'm afraid of it or wouldn't want to talk with people about how it's viewed from the benevolent, kind, mostly advanced races from off-world.
Right.
Because the most of them out there are. There's a few tyrant races, and they're being quarantined as we speak. So they're not having an influence in the hidden elite on this planet anymore, number one.
Okay.
Therefore, no more abductions, number two.
Good. Good.
That means the reptilian backers of tall whites, grays, and other things are no longer present to back them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big change. I just say this about the politics as far as this inauguration. There's a hidden elite or hidden government on the planet that did not plan for or anticipate him winning.
Right.
They didn't orchestrate it. It happened despite anything they did. That's very significant. I know
there's a
lot of people that have fear and they're against him or for him or for Hillary or blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that's fine because most of their fears are based on a subconscious drive of fear.
Interesting. The implants?
But when it comes to someone like that, who's sincere about the message he's put out, the first time I've heard a president ever talk like that, and everybody's recognizing that, which means there's the great potential for significant change on this planet for the first time.
Interesting.
That's
Interesting.
Important. Whether you like the guy or not, he is the president of this country now. So I will say that from an outside perspective, he's getting some help. Whether he's aware of it or not, I can't say.
Sure, sure.
Well, I could,
sure.
but I won't. But the point is, they're starting to get some help, and that's very significant for us who have to live amongst the masses.
Right, exactly.
People out there.
So exactly.
That's all I'll say about that.
Okay.
People
okay.
can learn and experience it for themselves as the days go on.
Right, right, right. Well, time will tell, and I wish him well, and I wish him the best in guiding. Guiding this country, I wish him well.
We're getting some help, Ted, as you know now, that we did not have available a little over 6 years ago on this planet in its entire history. That's because of how elements have changed outside of this Earth amongst the vast number of benevolent space-faring extraterrestrial races, and there has been a big change amongst them.
Right, right.
That's significant. Right. That's what my work is about, as you know, and why I take the time to go to conferences, fly around the world, get on radio shows like this one, and talk about this stuff, and then help people understand how they can access deliberately hidden truth that they've been made to forget about so much without their consent. They didn't even know it was being done to them.
Right, exactly.
That's significant.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the Galactic Alliance, Scott, and your involvement, if you could say a little bit about that.
Sure. Involvement goes with them back before this life on this planet. It goes back a long way in galactic history. My lives were predominantly out there, not on this world.
Right.
When I originally came here, I came here on a mission to begin this process that is underway now over 60 years ago. And that was interfered with. Many people were.
Right.
And I was made unconscious on this planet. That was not the plan. Despite what was done to me and many other people, I broke through all that and woke up anyway.
Right.
So it just shows you that at the core of our being, what we call soul, what they call in other worlds, highly evolved spiritual and technologically, they call it Atma. It means that that quality of being, our essence, that is not the body, has always had the ability to have command over any form of negativity, any form of negative technology or being, in or out of bodies. But people on Earth have been made to forget and doubt that, so they're more manipulatable and controllable. That's being reversed. That's starting to be reversed. I think this election is a beginning sign of a lot of things to come that are unexpected. For me, unexpected change like this is welcome, refreshing, and it means the possibility for great change on a planetary basis. Again, this was not something that was planned on by a hidden elite on this planet.
Right, right.
They're very worried now because they see that their power base is gently being eroded away.
I have to tell you, back in April of 2014, I had a wonderful astrologer on my show named Susan Miller from New York City. And there's one thing that really stuck in my mind. You know, everyone, you'll talk to people, Scott, and they'll say something like one or two lines, and you'll remember that. You won't lose it, you know, because it was very profound. And she said that beginning back then in 2014, continuing through the rest of this decade into the 2020s and 2030s, is a time of truth. That things will become more and more evident, and things that are false, I've said this before on my show, but things that are false, Scott, will fall by the wayside, and those that are true will become even more self-evident.
That's right.
And ever since that time of April of 2014, she's been right. Susan Miller's been right in the sense that more and more truth is getting out there, and you see that too. People ask me before, they ask, well, when do you think there will be disclosure about the ET and UFOs here on the planet? I said, it's already happening.
It's already underway, it's gradual, but it's definitely in momentum now.
And one thing too, the question I get also is that when will the changes come? And I've explained from what you've told me and Master Trellian said that it has to be slow because the negative entities on this planet are quite nasty, and they could cause a lot of destruction if it's done too quickly.
Right. Right. It's being done in a way. I'm going to give people a share. I want to share with people. Most people on Earth don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Not that
mm-hmm.
important to me about my personality or power mm-hmm. and fame or any of that. That's not
right.
why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My mission to this world has to do with the coming transformation that is underway that cannot be reversed, which has never occurred for this particular world
right.
before
mm-hmm.
in all of
sure.
its ancient past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The best way I have of putting what I represent is a new energy ray, a kind of a ray like, if people are familiar with creation rays, a lot of people aren't, some are, like mm-hmm. the knowledge way or the wisdom ray or the feminine ray or the love ray or that brought all creation, the multidimensional universe, into existence.
Right.
There's a new ray that came into existence very short time ago, Earth time,
mm-hmm.
that changed the consciousness of the Galactic Alliance members.
Right.
Which, for people's awareness, because they'll find it out again eventually by themselves, they'll remember this, people on Earth
right.
will. There's more mm-hmm. than 450 million inhabited space-faring races collectively working together in harmony out in one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy alone that people
wow.
on Earth have been denied knowing exists.
That's amazing. That is just amazing.
You know, there really is. And mm-hmm. they went through a consciousness change basically because of the appearance of an ambassador from what's called the Seyres race, S-E-R-E-S, pronounced
mm-hmm.
Seyres, as if it
right.
was S-E-Y hyphen R-E-Y-S,
mm-hmm.
or S-A-Y, R-A-Y, mm-hmm. Seyres.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are human. We get our genomes from them, as do many races that are spacefaring in the universe.
Right.
They're very
mm-hmm.
ancient, billions of years old.
Mm-hmm.
They're 18 to 25 feet tall, yet we come from them.
Wow.
And they were responsible originally in Galactic History 101
mm-hmm.
for bringing into existence things like the reptilians, the tall whites, the greys, the Nordics, humans from any other worlds, us,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
long ago, billions of years ago. Humans are very old. They aren't a new race. They
mm-hmm.
didn't originate on Earth.
Right.
They originated out in the universe and were brought here at one time or another under different
mm-hmm.
scenarios. Going back 50 million years since the dinosaurs were made extinct. That's a huge
Scott,
history that's missing from people.
Scott, let me ask you this question, and I get this question sometimes too, but the different races on this planet of humans, are we all from somewhere other parts? We're human, but we're all from different parts
Isn't
of the galaxy.
Isn't it funny? You're right, that people wonder if extraterrestrials exist. Little do they remember that they were
right.
once extraterrestrials themselves.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's amazing, but it's true. All of the different races that are represented here,
mm-hmm.
Japanese, Chinese, and American Indian, and India from India,
mm-hmm.
and Hispanic, and Arabic, and African American, all originated
mm-hmm.
on world systems where that type of human race was predominant.
Fascinating.
If not entirely populated by that race.
Wow.
Then you ask yourself, how did all these different races end up on Earth thrown together with no memory?
Right.
What a mess.
Right. Right,
people
exactly.
need to find that. My words don't mean much except to trigger things for people
mm-hmm.
to begin
mm-hmm.
to wonder about things they won't even hear in their lifetime if I don't bring it up.
Right, exactly.
But once it's brought
exactly.
up, there's a certain energy, as you know, Ted,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that represents
mm-hmm.
this ray that comes through when I talk that helps
right.
to bring to the surface the things, the primary
mm-hmm.
element, the highest fact the human beings have. It's
right.
called direct knowing perception.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As that awakens, people begin to gain back control over what's called implants, which are control mechanisms placed in a artificially created subconscious field. That's the field, the aura, around what people see in a body, around a person.
Right.
That field of energy, that electromagnetic field, is emanated from the spherical form of the being, which is not the body. And
mm-hmm.
people see it around the body, but it's not coming from the physical form. It's into that arena that images are placed in front and around the being when they look out of it that are distorted so they don't have a proper way to use right discrimination in making decisions about their own freedom and choices they should have on Earth. They should have real free will. to make decisions collectively about not being destructive and joining the rest of the races out there.
So, in other words, our free will has been taken away from us to make rational decisions about our future.
How much free will is there in a person who can't remember how they got here, where they came from before this life?
Well, that's true.
Practical issue. Well, yet a human being on another world is telepathic. They have a photographic memory. They use 100% of 100% of the brain they have, not 6 to 10 we're told we use here.
Right.
And these are normal human beings. They can get in and out of their bodies at will. They know who they are.
Right.
They remember their other lives. It's just normal. So people on Earth are not yet normal. They think they are, but they're not.
That's funny.
And that has to be given back to people here first through disclosure, unexpected elections and things like that, which help them to remember their heritage is way out there amongst the multidimensional universe, and they didn't originate here.
Right.
In fact, no human being ever did evolve from this planet. That's a big statement. But it remains for the individuals who hear it to explore in a safe, protected way, uncovering this information for themselves, because then it's their experience and not mine.
Right.
And it's a difficult job I have, but when I demonstrate for people at your conference or others and on radio, this way, this technique I share, really does begin the process of awakening that has been forced to go unconscious in people. It brings it to the surface. It's a gradual, careful process. The focus of beings from off-world is not and never has been the fighting a war with bad extraterrestrials and hidden elite and killing them. This is not the way they work. Their modus operandi is to, at least now, after the last 6 years, Earth time, begin a process of freeing these diabolical people on Earth and off-world from the subconscious controls that have driven them to be diabolical for over 500,000 years since the last galactic war came to an end. In this
let me ask you a question quick, Scott, before I forget. But the negative entities called the reptilians, at one time, they were, I think you said that they were vegetarian. Is
they
that
were.
Correct? Okay.
In fact, before this war started, because something was done to them that twisted them.
I see.
And it was not in their control. They were once great contributing members to the Galactic Alliance half a million years ago.
Wow, amazing.
So they need to be returned also to a state they once were. And that's underway out there in space. This is the reason why you hear from the classified whistleblower space program people today that there is a quarantined place around this solar system now by a race that our military, our space program, there's no way they could fight them. You can't win that war. There's no battle. They've just simply quarantined this place off and extricated these tyrants to go home.
There was a story by David Wilcox on Gaia TV. It was at least a couple of months ago. Might have been, it was last year. And I saw that this episode, and I wanted to run this by you, where just before this quarantine was placed into effect, Scott, there was a secret base in Australia, which saw one of these blue spears that had come in from the blue avians, which is part of the Galactic Alliance, of this quarantine. And the secret program fired a laser beam weapon from the reptilians at this blue spear, and what the spear did is that they turned it around and made it go back to the space secret space base, which was staffed by Americans and other people from the secret space program in the middle of Australia near Ayers Rock, and blew the whole place up.
It's unfortunate that people that look, it basically, if you look at it this way, the friends I work with don't really do it that way, but I'm not saying it didn't happen initially to get rid of the worst pockets of things here. If people need to lose bodies like that in order to save this planet, it'll be done. But it can be done by mirroring an energy back to that base and freeing the occupants of that base, extraterrestrial and human alike, from the implants to control them. And then they just simply disband the thing, take it apart, and forget it, which means the hidden elite lose personnel every time they attack. What is quarantining this? They lose personnel, they lose ships, not necessarily lives,
right,
for the most part.
Interesting.
But
Interesting.
They do lose their operatives because their consciousness will no longer cooperate with those giving them the orders. And this is a really important difference or distinction for people to understand the way benevolent extraterrestrials are going about this. So you've got, you know, there was a base in the middle of Australia. There's been a number of 128 locations along the United States underground, 2 miles. Around the world. Things are changing in many ways right now on a planetary basis. Some of the, what you would call the classified government elite on the planet, which really runs things beyond presidents so far, some of that, those people have already been, they've had a change come over them that has freed them from the diabolical manipulations that made them cooperate with tyrant extraterrestrials against their better judgment. That means that organization is no longer a unified force.
Right, right.
And if they have no backing from off-world, they have no future in outer space. What I mean by that is, if you have anti-gravity reversed engineered craft and you're playing around in our solar system, a base on the backside of the moon or Mars or on a moon of Saturn and stuff like that, that's all well and good, but they're not allowed to go outside of this solar system, and they never will be allowed to in their present form of government, classified systems. That will not be tolerated. They're not going to be allowed to bring weapons and, you know, nuclear weapons out there because, for one reason, all of that space is already occupied by more advanced races.
Absolutely.
So that's why I don't worry about the bright future for this planet. Because of what I know. All I'm endeavoring to do is get other people to become aware of it, too.
That's
it.
One of the things that I'd heard several years ago, Scott, and I wanted to confirm this with you, that in 22 other star systems, the Greys, the Reptilians, have come in, and they've co-opted the elites like they've tried to do on this planet Earth. And then eventually when they've extracted all the resources and all the materials that they want, then they blow the whole place up.
Well, they in the galactic history, they actually would blow places up if they were kicked off by benevolent beings.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Wow.
And that would have happened here already had that one single bomb device which causes matter to implode and then explode from the center of the planet outward. That's what happened on Maldek, which is now an asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter in our solar system quite some time ago. They have already, they know, there's two basic bases where these folks hung out, these reptilians, in the Congo area in the jungle and then deep in the Amazon, both underground. And they do not, they no longer have the ability to affect dominating this world. Their whole purpose for breaking an off-world treaty that was created at the end of that galactic war half a million years ago is to beg, borrow, or steal resources. They're not they are not respecters of human beings. And they do that by co-opting first and foremost the hidden elite on a planet. You know, the royal family bloodlines and the Illuminati-type characters. And they fan their egos and they get them to think they're going to have an elite status if they cooperate with them to help their an extraterrestrial tyrant agenda along, whether it's genetic experiment on people or abducting people or any of that. That's all come to an end already. So what you've got is an elite that was planning to go out in space, way out in the galaxy, and plant either an American flag or Soviet flag or some other kind of flag out there and start mining resources. That is never, ever going to happen.
Interesting.
Means they have no future going in that direction the way the country, the world is run now. There's no future out there. If we want to play among the stars and be given their technology freely, which is what's in the offing here, then this planet has to come into the governorship of a benevolent world government system. And to do that, it's going to need the help of those experts out there who have known how to do this and set up planets in this way for millions of years.
Wow.
Just
amazing.
That simple.
Amazing.
And that help is beginning to be provided here. It's still behind the scenes, but if you have the eyes and ears to see and hear it, you can see and hear it.
There's I have to share this quote with you, Scott, and you'll probably find it funny. But on Star Trek, they used to say, when fighting the Borg that resistance is futile. And I think for the changes, for the good changes coming to humanity, in a way, resistance is futile because these changes, I think, are inevitable, and they are coming, good changes coming for us.
Yeah, the new ray I talked about is only works one way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't compromise with tyrants. It doesn't negotiate for getting resources like the reptilians have done. For 60-plus years, they've been shipping resources off this planet under a classified space program.
Well, one thing I want to share with you, Scott, I know I was traveling here recently, so I haven't been able to call you and tell you about it. But at the conference, the Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 10, 11, and 12, on the evening of the 12th, I want to have you there, and so you can meet with people individually, and maybe if you're interested, if there's time, remove the implant, alien implants, or just consult people on the Hue.
I will do that. I did that for the first time. Actually, the first time that was done was in Finland, as you recall, in a hotel.
I do. Yes, thank you.
It was not my purpose to go there to represent groups from off-world openly to the public of this planet. It wasn't my intent to do that, but because I was asked, I have to respond. So I arranged to have good friends of mine, a man and a woman, wife, husband-wife team. They're one of eight people aboard one scout-class ship.
Right.
They travel in squadrons of three, generally.
Mm-hmm.
I had them agree to remove the implants, and they would project from the ship energetically down around the people, like in the hotel room.
Sure.
And I was able to see those implants, which you know how to do, Ted.
Yeah, I take them out, too. Yeah,
and then I just have them remove them. I watch them do it because they remove what's called the superficial implants first.
Right.
These are the things that bother human beings most on this planet during this lifetime.
Right.
And then their forgotten memory begins to resurface, and they begin to have control over what's called the primary implant.
Right, right.
Primary implants are put in people long before this life, often.
Right.
Before they're brought here. And then they're compelled to reincarnate here,
right.
Life after life, with no memory of other existence. It's quite a prison, if you think about
it. Right, right.
That's all reversible. And that kind of process is underway. So once that's done for a person, their consciousness begins to change inevitably, and it's not reversible.
Right, exactly. It's a one-way street because people have asked me before, once I've taken out the negative implants out of a person with the help of our friends in the Galactic Alliance, can they be put back in? And I say no. It's
no.
A one-way street. And I want to tell everyone listening today, for those coming to the Galactic Wisdom Conference on Sunday, it's actually March 10, 11, and 12, but on Sunday, March 12th in the evening, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Scott will be there, I'll be there, other healers will be there. We'll all be doing different things, but one of the things that I plan to specialize in that evening is to take out implants, and if you don't mind being there too, Scott.
No, I won't mind. For my part, I can't speak for you, Ted, or anyone else, but...
Mm-hmm.
That is not something I can ever be involved in the monetary system of this planet around. I don't charge for that.
That's fine. That's fine.
I don't
do it as a service.
With the Hue that I share that gives the protection around people and helps to wake them up, because that originated off-planet. And I bring that into the awareness of people and demonstrate it with them so it begins to be a kinetic connective energy for them.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I would do. And then at your conference... A lot of people asked me about that, as you remember, your last Galactic Wisdom Conference, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with a lot of people, Dr. William Mount and his wife and many other people.
Oh, Dr. Mount is coming.
Get on the way.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he means well. He doesn't want the planet cracked in half.
He's a good man. I just want to tell you a little bit about, you asked about Bill Mount. He did a video of me for the conference he put on YouTube, which was so nice of him. Mm-hmm. Also, he has something like, I think he's got over 200,000 viewers on his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's planning on coming to the conference too. So if you'd like to meet he's a fun guy, good-hearted man, trying to make the planet a better place. He lives up in Tacoma. He'll be coming down for the conference as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been trying to help you, Ted, and some others that I know get into the understanding, as you know, of dropping fists, fighting politicians, getting in the anger and revenge thing, because that's just how they control you. Tyrants work through those negative frequencies.
Exactly.
People learn to recover their ability to use their creative imagination, which is very powerful, in only a constructive, benevolent way towards all life, even tyrants, they get disconnected immediately from any outside influence to control them. It just disconnects frequencies of satellites. It's amazing what happens. It's kind of like this phone call conversation we're having. It's run through the satellite system. You'd think some government would shut it down, but they don't have control over those satellites all the time.
Something they
cannot control intercedes for the benefit of all life. That's happening right now as we speak. It's important to know that.
Yeah, I agree, Scott. I agree. Well, my friend, we've got about 15 or so minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that in case you'd like to bring in your friends from the Galactics and pass on any messages.
Ted, you mentioned Terellian earlier, but maybe some new listeners and some of the older listeners aren't familiar with who or what that is.
Right.
Terellian is a human being. His race is the most ancient in our galaxy and among many galaxies. They happen to be human. They're like the old prophesied, I don't want to say that, but the old old text and things in our planet in certain places that talks about giant humans. Tall, very tall. Skeletons have been found and all that. This is, and I want to make it clear, this is not the Nephilim. This is not the Anunnaki. Those were reptilian in Sumeria. These are not related to that at all. And Terellian is the ambassador from that race, who recently made a reappearance on the galactic stage after being vacant or vanished from interrelationships with races here for a very long time. And that's because of a consciousness change they went through to help the Galactic Alliance change to start to intervene here. Why? Because people on Earth don't have the true free will they're meant to have to make proper decisions about the destiny of their world.
Interesting.
So first you bring back free will, wake it up, then they will make the right choice.
I agree with you. I agree.
That's underway.
And I also, when I was in college, we used to have philosophical decisions or discussions, Scott, about whether the true nature of humanity was to be kind, sweet, and benevolent, or to be warlike and in conflict. And I knew that we weren't supposed to be warlike. We were supposed to be kind, benevolent, loving creatures. And so what you said about bringing our free will, I think once free will is brought back to this planet, then people will naturally make the right choices to live in peace and harmony.
Here's the thing. You're right. And here's the thing. Everything I share with people, I always ask them to take it with a grain of salt. But do try and experiment with what I share with them, the technique, particularly with the hue. And the vibration, it connects them through the pineal gland, the center of the brain, how it works with divine spirit, what it does. I ask them to work with it for a little while because they'll begin to have their own experiences over time. And it'll be their knowledge that they awaken about all this, and they can verify its validity for themselves. That's the real thing here. Because everybody's going to go through this change anyway, whether they like it or not, now on this planet.
I mean,
things are coming that nobody expected. And much more of that is underway. So get ready for the unexpected, because it's surely going to happen here in wondrous, uplifting ways that no one's going to see coming.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I want to tell you is that Nostradamus has said that the timeline has changed. We were headed for World War III and Armageddon, but that's not true anymore. We're headed for some really beautiful times for humanity.
You're quite right, Ted. Another thing that's changed, too, and I know you know this, Ted, they're in this particular planet, one of the problems with this world for having an advanced human culture that consistently grows into ever-benevolent, more technologically advanced states has been that on this particular planet, the poles of this planet flip overnight 120, 180 degrees. I mean, the actual physical poles, not just the gravitational field. Every 100,000 years, like clockwork.
Amazing.
Now, that means that if a culture like Lemuria advances from its beginning, colonization from other worlds, to its apex when it's destroyed overnight. That's 100,000 years. Then most life is wiped out on the surface. The planet's not destroyed, but human beings have to reincarnate after the Earth settles down. That cycle was the first thing that had to be addressed by off-world beings like Terellian and others, who they work with, which are a much higher state of being than they are, to stop permanently the polar flips of this planet, which has been done.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no more flips of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Those is what the flipping of the planet is what the Golden Age to Iron Age and back again was based upon for this world.
Really? Interesting.
That's over.
Mm-hmm.
That's karma.
Mm-hmm.
That's over. So now, as this world is transformed, it can take its place amongst the stars, amongst the space-faring races, and go beyond the speed of light and play in other parallel dimensions that these other races enjoy. If we do our cards right here, they will share all of that with us at no cost.
Well, let me ask you real quick. We've got about 10 minutes left, and does that mean that that there would be free energy, the elimination of poverty?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and longevity, currently, if we're lucky, we may live 80, 90 years?
Well, one of the reasons, the really only reason that we don't live, and I'm going to close this window just a moment because it's a little bit of a blower out there. Okay, is because in galactic history, when tyrants had their way before they were defeated 500,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
got control of some human planets, they got control of some grays and some tall whites, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they implanted them like what had been done to them
right.
by another more ruthless race in galactic history.
Mm-hmm.
And so those races went through terrorizing this planet and other places for a very long time, covertly. Many times they were caught breaking an off-world treaty and were shot down. And we recovered craft here. Roswell's an example. But we, our military, did not shoot it down.
Oh, interesting.
Think about what that means.
Okay. The
Something
Galactic
else
shot
without
it
intervening more directly, because they weren't mm-hmm. allowed to, has mm-hmm. done two things. Shot down craft full of occupants that were about to do something very diabolical here,
mm-hmm.
breaking an off-world treaty.
Right.
That's the one thing. But they also began to affect keeping us from blowing ourselves up through nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's really highly classified on this planet still,
mm-hmm.
and I talk about it because I'm not classified on this planet.
You,
I never sworn allegiance to any group here that I wouldn't talk about truth.
Right. In a way, you have far more freedom than Corey Good, Randy Kramer, or even Bill Tompkins to talk about
things. I've never
been
part of a secret space program.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So 12 different times, as you know, Ted, during the Cold War, the former Soviet Union, these knuckleheads actually pushed the button to blow everybody up, and their launch computers were shut down.
Right.
From outside.
Wow. Wow.
Nobody was hurt. Nobody was talked to. Nobody said, hello, we did it. Took credit
right.
for it. They just
right.
shut down the launch computers here in the Soviet Union and then fly away. And then the launch computers would be turned back on with the launch mode shut down, like, do whatever you want, but not that.
Sure.
Or we'd already be dead, and prophecy would have been fulfilled.
Right.
So you're right. That prophecy has been permanently altered for the good in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And
amazing.
You've gotten that confirmation from your contact as a psychic.
Well, what's interesting, I've talked about this before, Scott, but there was a series of books written by Dolores Cannon, a wonderful American psychic. She passed away in 2014.
Ah, condolences, yeah.
Yeah, and in that set, she and her psychic friends contacted Nostradamus back in the 15th, 16th century, back from the period of 1986 to 1988-89. And it's a three-volume set. It's still being published. But in my recent conversation with Nostradamus, he said that all of those quatrains relating to World War III have completely been changed. For example, back in 1988, Nostradamus told Dolores Cannon that there would be a third world war starting in the Balkans, thanks to then President Clinton's involvement there in humanity. He was trying to do the best thing for the people there, but it would backfire, and it would the U.S. and Europe would be drawn into a conflict in the Balkans,
mm-hmm.
which would spread worldwide. And by now, 2017, much of the United States would have been destroyed. That's what
right.
he said in his prophecies. But we're still here, and it didn't happen. So that, for people who think about a possible nuclear war in the future, it's not going to happen. The timelines have definitely changed. So and I want people to know that in a really good, positive way. And so instead of dwelling on the negative about an Armageddon or World War III, we should instead dwell on the positive of your work, of the work of the Modal Peace Project in making this world a better place, because That's where the action is. It doesn't make any sense at all to get into an argument about whether there's going to be a nuclear war when it's not going to happen. The galactics are not going to...
It's a misdirection of people's imagination through a negative frequency which captures them when they dwell in the negative and fear. So if you can get people to realize that, and they just start pulling their imagination away from fear of the future for their family, fear of the planet, fear of the United States going down. I'll give you an example of something very important and practical. There was a huge worldwide banking collapse some years ago, right?
2008, correct.
Okay. That was the United States, Britain, Europe, Russia, China, all the banks collapsed worldwide.
Right.
That was orchestrated. It was done to acquire for pennies on the dollar the actual title holdings of real estate around the world into fewer hands.
I see.
They stripped the laws off of the Congress for 5 years to do it. Then they did it. So if there's no money and all the banks collapse, where'd they get the money to prop it up? Then all of a sudden the laws they stripped from Congress stripped and put them back after this catastrophe.
Right.
So that no one else could do it. But here's the thing. When that happened, there was no shortage of food, trucking, shipping, trains, planes. Everything kept working. It was not what was prophesied.
Right, exactly.
The banking collapse they're fearing for the future already came and went.
Right. Interesting.
It's not going to happen that way. So, and this is how misdirected people are. They can't see the forest through the trees when it's right in front of them.
Right, right.
So
well,
people putting energy into doom and gloom now, Armageddon, Bible prophecy, any prophesied event, as you know, none of them have ever come true, is a waste of energy and time because the energies affecting this planet now have shifted and changed. So it's headed towards a disclosure, truth-telling kind of thing, exactly what you said earlier in the show.
Right, exactly, exactly. Scott, we've got just a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to let you know that, and also wanted to thank you so much for coming on today at the last
minute. My pleasure.
You know, it's always so good to talk to you, and you always have such a positive message. The website for the conference that Scott's going to is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. It needs to be updated with the current list of speakers, which should be done by early next week. So, but if you have any questions about the conference, please send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793, and you'll actually get through this time because my phone was out of order during the past week.
You can probably get M in Canada to help you with that website, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to contact our friend tonight. Yeah, I sent him one email last night. I'm going to send him another email tonight.
Yeah, he'll do it right away.
He's a good man. So,
But
with that, what I'd like to do is go ahead, Eric, if we could play, I'd like to wrap up this hour with the Chestnut and Birch.
But before you do that, I just want to mention my website at paralleltime.com, just like
it's spelled. Oh, of course. Sorry.
The two books I've published are The Sayers Agenda. You'll learn all about what I've talked about by getting that book through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, however. And the first book of the Parallel Time trilogy called The Emerald Doorway. Those are published. They're very beneficial. There's techniques in the back of The Sayers Agenda that will show people how to get in touch with this stuff I've been talking about. There's no shopping cart at my website. It just links directly to trusted online retailers. So if they want to get that, they can. The videos there and the radio shows there are free, including how to do this special word you that connects you to hidden truth.
Well, let's do the hue. It's a meditation technique. Let's do the hue, and then we'll move into this Chestnut and Birch music. It goes like this.
Let's just do it once. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Sounds like this whole round tone, like the name H-U-G-H-U. Presents out a certain frequency, and there's a protection that comes with it. Let's do it, Ted.
Okay.
You.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Scott. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone, and we'll finish up the hour now with the Chestnut and Birch Tree
thanks,
music.
Thanks, Ted. Bye for now.
Thanks, Scott. Okay, bye-bye.